This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, as you know, we are close to the month of Ramadan. And at a time like this, that we start approaching the month of Ramadan, we start making a very special dua. And this is a dua that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would make when they would say, Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. And so it is at times like this that we are reminded that we may assume that we will reach the month of Ramadan. We may assume that we will be able to fast the month of Ramadan. And we may even get excited about the rewards of the month of Ramadan because, let's be honest, the rewards of Ramadan are amazing. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih." That the one who fasts the month of Ramadan, that having faith in Allah and hoping in the reward of Allah, then their previous sins will be forgiven. And in another narration, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih." That the one who stands the month of Ramadan, meaning they worship Allah in Ramadan, having faith in Allah and hoping in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their previous sins would be forgiven. And because of these amazing rewards, there is a trap that the shaitan lays for us at this time. The shaitan knows that Ramadan is coming and his influence is going to be much weaker in the month of Ramadan. And so before Ramadan starts, he lays out this trap where he tells us that wait until Ramadan. So there are those amongst us who may be thinking, you know, I have a lot of changes I need to make in my life. I want to start praying, or I want to start doing this. I want to start giving more charity. You know, I want to be a bit better to my family. I want to reestablish broken ties of kinship. I want to do this and that. And then the shaitan comes to them and says, you know what? Ramadan is right around the corner. Just wait until Ramadan. And this may seem like a convincing argument, but the reality is what the shaitan is not telling us is that no one is guaranteed to reach the month of Ramadan. Hence this dua that I mentioned earlier. We ask Allah to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan, but the reality is there's no person, no one amongst us is guaranteed that they will be able to reach the month of Ramadan. And that's a victory for the shaitan, because the shaitan is telling us, just wait. And that is why for the shaitan, a powerful tool is procrastination. Because procrastination can seem much more convincing than laziness. You know, when it comes to being lazy, someone who is lazy, they're not interested in doing a certain task. So they have a task in front of them they need to get done, and they're like, yeah, I don't feel like doing it. I don't have the energy for it. I don't have the motivation. I don't really want to do it. But a procrastinator has the desire to do the task. They want to do the task. But the only issue is, not now. I'll do it later. So it is very deceiving, because a person thinks, yeah, I do want to do it. So when it comes to our salah, for example, a lazy person may, I don't feel like praying. And that has a very negative connotation. Even if you call someone lazy, it's almost as if you're calling someone a slur. Right? You're lazy. Even in Arabic, you say kaslan. It's like a lazy person. It's a slur. But if you think about procrastinating, it can feel positive. Because it's like, yeah, I have the desire to do it. I'm just not ready right now. Or I don't want to do it right now. I'll put it off until later. This is why Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he warned us, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّسْوِيفِ. He said, beware of procrastination, فَإِنَّهُ أَكْبَرْ جُنُودِ إِبْلِيسِ. For it is the strongest soldier of Iblis. The shaitan, Iblis, is very much invested in getting us to delay, to leave it off. There are those amongst us who want to return to Allah. Those amongst us want to make tawbah. And so the shaitan tricks them by saying to them, look, I'm not telling you don't make tawbah. I'm not telling you, you know, you shouldn't be a good Muslim. You shouldn't change your life. You shouldn't make these changes to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now is not the time. You know, you're young. You got a lot going on. Enjoy life a little bit. And later you can do it. Some people, when it comes to their Hajj, is a good example of this. Some people wait, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to make Hajj. They wait to make Hajj. And even this is something which is common in certain cultures. I'm not going to name the culture here. I don't want to call anybody out. But if you're from that culture, you know who I'm talking about. In certain cultures, it is a common practice. It is understood that you only make Hajj when you're old. And what is the thinking there? Well, people don't say this, but the thinking is that, you know what? If I'm young, it's going to be a waste of my Hajj. I don't have that many sins right now. I only got, you know, 20 years of sins, 30 years of sin. How about I wait until I'm 75 or 80 years old? I have 80 years of sins. In 80 years, that's a much better return on my investment. However much my Hajj costs, you know, 10, 20,000. I don't know what the prices are right now, please excuse me. But whatever that cost is, well, for $15,000, 20 years of sins, or for $15,000, 80 years of sins. Well, 80 years of sins, much better deal. That is how the shaitan works. For some people, when their relationships break apart, when they have problems in their relationship, the shaitan comes to them and says, you know what, you just need time to be away from this person. It could be our close family members. And the shaitan says later, you know what, you need time to yourself, you need time to settle down, you need time to work things out. You know, this is not the time. But once again, what the shaitan leaves out of all of these arguments is that what if you do not get the chance, the ability, the life to go make amends? You could talk to anyone who has lost a loved one, and almost everyone will have regrets about the relationship with their loved one. Even if it was a good son or a good daughter, even if it was a good nephew or aunt or uncle, whoever this person that passed away, even if you were good to them and they were good to you, even if you had a good relationship, you will say to yourself, I wish I had done more. How many children who upon losing a parent, even if they had a great relationship, will say to themselves, I wish I had done more. Because, you know, our parents, we know, are a path to piety. We know so much reward is gained through parents. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has again and again emphasized, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be good to your parents. And sometimes people think being good to your parents, by the way, is supposed to be easy. No. The reward is there, yes, because of the rank of our parents, but also because it's not easy. Because naturally, when it comes to a child and a parent relationship, there's a generation gap. I don't care what culture you belong to, how much, you know, in the culture you're supposed to respect your parents, or you're supposed to be afraid of your parents, whatever your culture is, right? That's fine. There is always going to be a generational gap. And because of the generational gap, there's going to be a difference in how you think, in how you react, in how you perceive certain matters. So there's always going to be that level of difficulty. But talk to any child who's lost a parent, even if they had a good relationship, they will say, I wish I had done more. That was a time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our parents are a gift from Allah. Allah gives us a set amount of time to gain reward, to get to Jannah through goodness to our parents, to be patient with our parents, to put up with, dare I say, to put up with our parents. But that's a limited time, and no one has a guarantee. And this is why this is something that is so difficult, because the shaytan always tells us later. You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, which illustrates the point of laziness and procrastination very well. Hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that during the night while you're sleeping, the shaytan ties three knots at the back of your head.
And with each knot, as he ties the knot, he breathes the following words. عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. The night is long, so keep on sleeping. Three knots, three plots that are made against us every night. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, if a person remembers Allah, فَإِن ذَكَرَ اللَّهِ, the first knot is undone. If the person makes wudu, the second knot is undone. And if the person gets up and prays, then all three knots are undone. Meaning the plots, the three plots of the shaitan are defeated. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, this person, فَأَصْبَحَ نَشِيطًا طَيِّبَ النَّفْسِ. The person wakes up lively and in good spirits. وَإِلَّا أَصْبَحَ خَبِيثَ النَّفْسِ كَسْلًا. And if not, if the person is defeated by these three knots of the shaitan, they didn't get up to pray, they didn't make wudu, they didn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all three knots were not undone, the Prophet ﷺ said this person wakes up and they're in low spirits and they have a laziness about them. And you know what's beautiful about this hadith? Many of us have experienced this hadith. The day on which you pray Fajr on time is very different than the day on which you did not pray Fajr. It sets the tone for your whole day. Even if you didn't get enough sleep, you know, sometimes that's the whispering of the shaitan, right? You need this extra hour. And as you say, subhanAllah, they got to get up for work. And there's like this calculation that takes place in their head. Like, I got to get up for work at 8. And if I got up at 6 for Fajr, then I'm not going to go back to sleep. That's 2 hours of sleep that I lost. And you know what? I need those 2 hours of sleep. And the shaitan distorts the reality of what this person needs. Because in reality, if the person got those 2 hours of sleep, then it would not actually be helpful for them. They would wake up, we've experienced this, the day on which you missed Fajr or didn't pray Fajr, it affected your whole day. But even if a person got less sleep, the barakah of praying Fajr, the barakah of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barakah, the blessings of defeating the shaitan in the early time of the day sets the tone for the whole day. Because what has happened? You have woken up and done something. You started your day with a victory. You started your day by doing something that is difficult for you. It is difficult for the vast majority of us. I don't dare speak for everyone. I'm sure there's Mr. Super Good Muslim out there who says, I have no problem getting up for Fajr every day. I wake up, no problem. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you and increase you in your goodness. Allahumma ameen. But many of us, it is difficult. And yes, ibadah is supposed to be difficult. It is through that difficulty, through persevering, through staying patient over the difficulty of the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our reward is increased by Allah. So when we defeat the shaitan in the morning, that good feeling carries on throughout the day. هذا والله تعالى أعلم سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Now, I know many of you are thinking, okay, procrastination, laziness, that's a tool of the shaitan. The shaitan wants us to delay and delay and delay. So what do we do? Now, before I say anything else, I just want to be very, very clear that when it comes to certain types of laziness or certain types of procrastination, sometimes it can be a symptom of an underlying problem that is not going to be solved by listening to a motivational khutbah. I don't care how great this khutbah is. If someone, for example, is dealing with clinical depression, and a symptom of that is that it causes them to lose motivation in doing their daily tasks, this person needs to seek professional help. They need to see a counselor or a therapist that can help them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ الدَّاءَ وَأَنزَلَ الدَّوَاءَ فَتَدَاوَوْا. Allah has sent the ailment, and Allah has sent the cure as well. So seek out the cure, seek out the treatment. This is part of our deen. That if Allah has provided treatment for us, we seek out that treatment. So I just want to be very clear about that right off the bat. If someone is really struggling with this issue, and they find that it is impeding their ability to function and to do normal daily tasks, I would urge you to go seek the help of a counselor or a therapist and go seek professional help. That being said, some of the things that we can incorporate to help fight off this procrastination, especially as we're gearing up for the month of Ramadan. We're thinking, Ramadan, I'm going to do everything in the month of Ramadan. Tell yourself that I don't have to do everything right now. but let me do something. Because that something can be very motivating. So I'm not saying, hey, listen, start fasting every day or every other day or even Mondays and Thursdays, but maybe at least once a week. Start with that. I'm not saying pray all of your fard and your sunnahs and your nawafir and get up for qiyam al-layl, but incorporate something more than what you were doing before. If you were only praying your fard, start incorporating some sunnahs into your prayer. If you were not praying any of the night, maybe get up 10, 15, 20 minutes before fajr, get in some qiyam al-layl, even if it's two rak'ahs. And start doing those little tasks, because those little tasks can be motivating. And it can help set the tone for not only Ramadan, but the rest of our lives. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. That the most beloved actions to Allah are those which are done consistently, even if they're small. And that speaks to human nature. Because when we look at big tasks, they can feel overwhelming. And we won't want to do them. But when you break them down into smaller tasks, that's a victory. Right? So that, like I mentioned Fajr earlier, just praying Fajr on time, even if you caught it at the end. And I know some people won't even like for me to say that. Like, no, you're not supposed to wait until the end of Fajr or whatever it may be. But Alhamdulillah, you pray, that's a victory. Now use that to better yourself. And that leads me to my second point. And that is surround yourself with people that will help motivate you. Number one, surround yourself with people who are driven people, people who tend not to procrastinate, and also people who are positive influences on you. People that bring about positivity, people who encourage you by encouraging your good habits instead of always criticizing your bad habits. Let's say you prayed Fajr in the last 2 minutes of the time for Fajr. You may have person A who says, MashaAllah, I know you struggle with Fajr. Alhamdulillah, today you prayed Fajr. You barely caught it, but Alhamdulillah, you did that. That means tomorrow you can get up a little bit before, maybe 10 minutes before, maybe 20 minutes before. That's person A. Person B will say, look at this Fajr that you prayed. That's a terrible way to pray Fajr. What is the point if you're going to wake up at the very end and pray Fajr? One is motivating and one is demotivating. We need people, we need to surround ourselves with people that will have a positive influence on us. And lastly, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would regularly make dua. He would seek refuge in Allah from, he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from laziness, from procrastination. And so we need to continually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us overcome this issue. And lastly, we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to help our brothers and sisters struggling with whatever issue, wherever in the world, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Palestine as a whole, our brothers and sisters in Sudan, anywhere in the world our brothers and sisters are struggling, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them freedom and victory and relieve them of any pain and difficulty they are going through. And we ask Allah to accept those who have passed as martyrs. Hada wallahu ta'ala. أعلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروه يذكركم واشكروه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.